All right, welcome back to the show this very morning as we will take a look at major stories now that affects, as we have it, education. Joining me via the telephone line is Rotimi Sukuri. Well, thank you so much. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Yes. Okay, good. We all like to do this every time we have a special edition, Abuja special edition of the public square. And today we'll take a look at issues around education. Yesterday was the International Day of Education, which, by the way, celebrated worldwide. And since yesterday, there's been quite a number of celebrations and at the same time, reasons to examine where we are. Are we celebrating where we are? Should we be celebrating where we should be going? Do we even know where we're going in terms of education? And that's something to venture into. Now, the International World Education Day was agreed by the likes of the United Nations in 2018 following a resolution moved by Nigeria. Well, this year, that's 2022, the theme is Changing Course, Transforming Education. That's changing the course and transforming education. And to examine and make us understand this properly, you have the right to education, of course, enshrined in Article 26 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, that declaration calls for free and compulsory elementary education. The Convention on the Rights of Child, adopted in 1989, also played a good role in this. Now, countries who have signed on to this have agreed that higher education should be accessible to all people, as one would find. Rotimi Sukuri, a journalist, a development journalist and policy expert, and the host of the flagship Public Square program on Nigeria Info Lagos, joins me via the telephone line. And as we speak and we examine this topic, you can always follow him and, of course, interact with him on Twitter at Rotimi Sukuri. Rotimi Sukuri, that's S-A-N-K-O-R-E. Now, to this program, there are just four main questions, I think, if I make an attempt to be disciplined enough for us to go through. Four main questions that one could easily take on. Now, Mr. Sukuri, it's good to have you join the Abuja team this very morning. We're so glad to have you and privileged to have you on the show as we have it today.
Thank you again, Samir. Thank you.
Changing the course and transforming education. Oh dear, this is where things are. But before we can change the course of education, the big question to ask is, what is the state of literacy and education in Nigeria? What's the big picture like? Where are we? And what are we trying to change in terms of the state of education in Nigeria?
The big picture is not looking good at all. As you quoted from the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, the right to education is enshrined and agreed to by all countries, including Nigeria, which led the debate and moved the motion for the adoption of the International Day on Education. So, above all, Nigeria, having played the leading role in this observance that is celebrated globally, has to also reflect on the state of education in Nigeria. We can't be urging all countries in the world to observe the International Day of Education when the state of education is not looking good in Nigeria. So, summarily, the big picture is that currently we have 60 million adults that cannot read or write, which is a tremendously huge number. Don't forget, 60 million is roughly the same population as the UK or France. It's just a little short of double the population of Canada. 60 million is bigger than the population of any 50 countries in Africa, except 5 countries like Ethiopia, Egypt, Democratic Republic of Congo, South Africa, and so forth. So 60 million is a huge number. not to be able to read and write. There are also 10 million children out of school. According to the government figures, other estimates say 13 million children out of school. The Minister of Education told us that they reduced this number by 3 million in the last 2 years of COVID when schools were hardly open. I mean, if you believe him, I mean, it is up to you. So the official figure is just over 10 million children out of school. The official figure is 60 million adults unable to read and write. So that tells you more or less, whether Nigeria is keeping up with what the International Declaration of Human Rights says, that primary education will be free and compulsory for all, and the further promise that secondary education will be made accessible to all.
It also means, when we take a look at this, I expect that, from 2020, with the COVID shutting a lot of situation down, before COVID, we had a very dire situation where one could almost say there was a reliable pattern to say some regions of the country were struggling with educating their kids, and the interest in getting educated was there. It was lingering on. But after COVID, what one could almost say is that the data went in new directions, faster, more drastic, and possibly in a negative direction across the country. Now, I would just want us to venture a little bit into this before we talk about, if education is accessible to all in Nigeria, what does the data say? That's something I'm very keen on. I'm looking at the map provided by African Development Info. Right now, the data that shows what level or what accessibility of education as we have it in various states of Nigeria, and the numbers are truly alarming if you follow through with this data that is on the Twitter handle of African Development Info, which, by the way, it's on right now. I just tweeted that. So in case anybody wants to look at the data we're talking about for various states of the Federation, Sokoto has 15.1% and the likes of that. But Mr. Sokori would explain even more about this. What does the data say as we look at the states and the responsibility and the responses that are brought about the data where we are with regards to the level of education and its accessibility even now?
Well, if we want to look at the broad overview, we need to look at it in context of what does it mean for the current situation in Nigeria, which impacts the economy, which impacts insecurity, and so forth. So, broad helicopter view, you will see that, for instance, in northwest and northeast Nigeria, about 40% of males cannot read and write, and about 70% of females cannot read and write. I mean, that is the broad helicopter view. Now, if you are living in Nigeria, nobody needs to tell you what is happening in northeast and northwest Nigeria, where, in fact, to be specific, 40.7% of males in northwest Nigeria cannot read or write, and 49.3% cannot read or write. In the north central, is 26.8% of males cannot read or write, southeast 13.2%, south-south 11.3%, southwest 10.9%. Now, that is for males 15 to 49 years old. In other words, people that should have finished their secondary education. For females, again, going by geopolitical zone, in the northwest, 70.9% of females 15 to 49 are unable to read and write. 70.9%. In the northeast, 68.2% females unable to read and write. North central, 50.4%. So in all the 19 northern states, this is a very dire situation. In the southeast, it is 20.4% females unable to read and write, south-south 20.9, and southwest 19.3. So that is with basic literacy. That is just with basic literacy. And that really tells you that the what was quoted from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on access to primary education is not happening in Nigeria at all. It is important to also state that, broadly speaking, about 7.5 million children are born in Nigeria every year, out of which only 5 million start primary school. But from the 5 million that start primary school, about 70% do not transit to or finish secondary school. Listen, Femi, about 70% of the children that start primary school in Nigeria do not transit to or finish secondary school. Now, this is official data from the Bureau of Statistics, from UBEC, from the Federal and State Ministries of Education. So this is not good. This is not good at all. And if you want to look higher, you will see that the numbers that take WAEC, JAMB, and so forth fluctuate between 1.4 and 1.8 million. And the University Commission and JAMB have told us that the roughly 1.5 or 1.6 million that pass JAMB, half of them do not have places because there are no places for them. So people are also not going to uni, not because they failed, but because there is no place. So overall, it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all.
Okay, so I know there's a lot we need to talk about with regards to this, and there's some news I also want to examine. I was reading the tweets that was about Zamfara State, and they employing 110 teachers, and I was just wondering in my head, I mean, is it that, would that now be considered as a move in the interest of education, right in the middle of a conflict and the likes of that? These are things to examine. But before we go on a break, because we have 90 seconds to go on a break, just to reiterate, conflict is also changing how the previous data was compared to how it is now. Do you think conflict played a role in making it more negative or turning the trend negatively, considering where we are? Just maybe you can answer that in maybe 30, 40 seconds before the news update comes up.
Well, it's chicken and egg, which one came first? Is it the conflict that disrupted the education or the lack of investment in education that led to the conflict that disrupted the education? After the break, we can try answering more details.
Yes, definitely. Mr. Rotimi Sakura is still with us shortly after the news update provided by Dorcas. We'll keep up with this very conversation. You think there's no prize around conflict? You're about to find out how bad things are, both for the male child and the female child. Let's examine this conversation together. Keep up with us at Nigeria Info ABJ. Look at those data. They're there, right there, retweeted from the African Development Info, Andrew, AfriDevo Info. Go there, see it for yourself, and I'm sure you understand why this conversation is very timely. This is Morning Crossfire with Family Life. I'll be back shortly.